and sweep it high. Run flat, stay low. Run the mountain, run the road. Run past the eight stand to the commode. Oh, run steep, get high. Run flat, stay low. One stream, two guys, mountain apples. Now here's your host.
I'm your host, Jam Jam, coming at you from Phoenix, Arizona.
I'm your host, Skizzle Fresh, coming at you from Oakland, California.
Yeah. Crush that. Nailed it. Right on time. Something like that. We were starting to get messages from people that are like, where are you? Is it happening? What's going on?
Listen, and I want to take a moment because specifically Jim Rooney, who we both know from the Lone Cactus Last Man Standing, and then
Lone Mountain originally.
And then one. Yes. Well, yes, and then he won and with this 500 miles. He harassed me on IG. But if you go to my Twitter, I specifically put what time we were going to start in Sydney time as a nod to Jim. Yeah, I know it's like Wednesday afternoon there. I looked this up. I did actual research to figure out what time zone he was in to call that time zone out specifically on Twitter. So, Jim, as much as you want to harass me, I try to do you a solid. And this is what I get. So, thanks,
did you
buddy.
Say it would be – whatever 15,
it was like 1 p.m. I mean, listen, I think at this point folks know that we don't start on time.
Yeah,
we just like roll into it because we say six,
we always log, we're pretty much on by,
we're on at six.
Yeah,
and then we're like, oh, we should probably talk about what we're going to talk about, and then we still actually never cross that bridge, and you have no idea what I'm going to say, and I have no real idea what you're going to say, and
I have no idea what I'm going to say either.
There, so we go.
Perfect. If this is your first time tuning into this show, welcome to the disaster, the Mountain Outpost pod. I'm just joking. This is just a couple guys, couple friends talking about the sport of running. Come from more of a trail mountain background. Skylar, more of a road track background, would you say?
I think that's fair.
Flatter, yeah. Variety. We like to cover a little bit about what's going on this week that we thought was interesting in the sport. We're going to chat about it. Give you our thoughts, something like that, back and forth, Q&A towards the end. We're just hanging out for an hour, about 90 minutes is an average show, I would say, at this point, yeah, in time, seems like, plus or minus. So here we are. We're back at it. Yeah.
Cool. And also, just before we even jump into it, for the folks that are in the live chat, which if you're listening on your podcatcher of choice later on, you can join us live on the Mountain Outpost YouTube channel and hop in the live chat and harass us in real time. But if you are in the live chat, we're going to bounce around through a lot of topics, but we don't have a producer who can like save questions for later. So like, if you could just kind of try to keep them germane to the topic that we're currently discussing, better chance we'll actually answer your question, just from a help us help you standpoint. So I just want to throw that out there. If you're listening later, just drop them in the comments and we'll read them and maybe address them on next week's episode. Cool. That's just help me help you because I have literally no screen to watch the live chat. And so I'm just trying to help Jamil out.
I'm usually on it pretty solid. We can all, yeah. And just as a point of clarification, you can also get in on Facebook.
That too.
And we got someone by the name of Nosaj Schlarb is on Facebook checking on in.
Cool.
I mean, wow. It's Jason Schlarb, but yeah, it's all good.
Speaking of things that Jamil's on top of, we did resolve the issue of actually exporting the audio file to podcatchers. So catch up on all those old episodes.
Thank you, Rob. Shout out.
Yes, we have, you know, the post Black Canyon recap episode, whatever the hell we talked about last week in terms of like future challenges, how to make them audience involved, the future of ultra running message boards. We got a lot of stuff that you can catch up on your long runs this week. So make sure you dive into the Steep Life Media channel on podcast.
Scrolling back, they're all there. And looks like we even got some copy about what each episode is all about. So for instance, last week, check this out. It says, this week, Jam Jam is back in Phoenix after his Barkley boot camp to chat about how his training is going. And Skizzle Fresh comes up with some great ideas for potential future Mountain Outpost challenge videos, including a fresh take on drop bag challenges. Look at that. What?
It's so nice to have a staff that does things for us.
It's only going to get better from here. I can promise you that much.
All right, guys. So in like 45 weeks, we're going to tell you to never go back and listen to these episodes. So embrace them now.
Oh, when they're all polished and everything?
Yeah.
These are the good old days right here, okay? So just embrace it. Exactly.
Oh, man, how are you doing? What's going on? What's happening?
You know, last week was, I mean, in terms of my running, it was just write it off, just erase it, throw it in the trash can. It was nothing, man. It was kind of a recovery week for me. I got in, really, it was my Achilles were just shot after what I did with the boot camp week. So, and then it was just like missing a week of work, essentially, being kind of checked out when I went crazy and did 33 hours of running in a week. Kind of had a lot to take care of back here. So dove into that and was out at Copper Corridor on Saturday and then did, actually, I got in one decent run in the Pinal Mountains. It's above Globe, Arizona, Globe, Miami. It's kind of, if you keep going past Superior, you go up the hill, up the mountain, about 20, 25 miles. And there's pretty big mountain range up there. There's a whole trail system at the top. So I went up there after Copper Corridor. I parked just before sunset. And my goal was to hit the peak of the whole mountain range, which was Pinal Peak. It's around 7,800 feet elevation. So never been out there before, just headed up in the dark, basically, and ended up in this canyon called Ice House Canyon. And it was completely socked in with snow, like a couple feet of snow, north-facing slope, so it doesn't really get any sun. There's huge pine trees. There was a burn section, but then also big stands of forest pine trees, and made it to the top. Freezing cold up there, windy, some snow. I mean, it was clear, full moon out, though. It was pretty cool. I'm definitely going to go back and check it out in the daytime. But, you know, coming off the mountain, I took this power line trail that basically went straight off the mountain, just a direct line, and it was perfect. Extremely steep. Didn't have my poles, so I was kind of slipping on the way down. It's a good time.
Typical.
If I had more time to like go out there and do repeats on that stretch, I probably would, or I still might. You never know.
Is it pretty accessible? Was it just off 60, or do you have to like drive through town? Oh, okay.
I mean, Globe and Miami are right on the 60. The 60 goes right through both. I mean, to get to the trailhead where I parked, I mean, there's a lot of people, actually, they live up these canyons, so there's paved roads most of the way. Might have been on a dirt road for like a mile or two, if that, to get to an area to park. So probably less than 90 minutes from my doorstep to where I parked, which is like halfway up the mountain range, and then I went the rest of the way up. So I would say really accessible. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely hidden gems. Like most people stop at Superstitions, but if you probably went, another half an hour tops, you're probably in that section.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, Superstitions, yeah, it kind of depends on the part. I mean, and even another 15 minutes from like where you would turn off to go to Peralta, you're at Superior, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. You guys have seen some of the videos, I'm sure. And then just another 15 minutes up the hill from Superior is where Miami is. And then Globe is 5 more minutes from there. So it's really, yeah, it really is this. There's just so many areas kind of that are untapped. I mean, I don't know if I've really ever heard of a runner, like of runners going to the Pinal Mountains to try and run, but I mean, there's a pretty significant trail system there. So stay tuned. I'll have to say about that. We got something cool in the works. Should be a good time.
You just boosted the tourism industry of Miami, Arizona, which is significantly lower than Miami, Florida, I'm sure.
So. Yeah. And those towns, I will say shout out to both of them, because we did pitch a run to them, and they have fully embraced it, and they're pumped. So we're working on it, and it's going to be a good time. You drinking anything tonight?
I am. Yeah. I actually flipped over to a different tab because there's hopefully breaking news we'll get on this show. But the other thing that's going to be breaking open right now is Federation Brewing's Zero Charisma Hazy IPA, local brewery here in Oakland. So got to show them some love. And because I feel like I am absolutely dragging and have zero charisma right now, it seemed only appropriate to crack this bad boy open. What you got?
I'm so boring when it comes to this because I just keep pulling out like the leftovers from a month ago. Like I was gifted this by John, who came and did the intro song, and it's the Ship's Wheel Dry Hopped Hard Cider. Crisp and aromatic hops blend, small batch from Jameson Hard Cider Company in Charleston, South Carolina.
Sweet. Yeah. All right, sir. Cheers.
Cider. Cheers it up. Good to be back.
Yeet.
So yeah, it is breaking news that I did. If you do follow me on Instagram, I was teasing some stuff. I did write a script. I did write out a show for Mountain Outhouse News, and I did film it. And it's a long one. So it's probably going to be like a double episode. It's a little bit of catch up from, I think, the oldest story I included might have been Rim to Rim to Rim alternate with the women that did it in October, which parlayed into the Mike Foote and Rob Krar on New Year's Eve. And then we just kind of, I tried to get up to speed as quickly as possible, but then, you know, next week is going to be all current stuff. So yeah.
Sweet.
I don't know. Did you want to talk about some run? We had a few things we wanted to talk about tonight. So you had some random stuff, just put it in air quotes.
Run Flat News is its own segment.
Run Flat News. Well, no, you said random stuff, not part of that, right?
I have some other things that we need to discuss.
Stuff, there's Run Flat stuff, Run Flat and then there's Outhouse News stuff, which I think in the future, ideally we'd have like the news show would drop Tuesday morning, and then we can go dive deep into one or two of the juiciest topics.
Yeah, so Outhouse News ends up being your network Good Morning America style, like hardcore news show in the morning. And then we come in with some just ridiculous cable news opinion stuff at night with this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably the way to think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Stir it. Yeah, so I'm excited for it. Also, I don't even know if I can reach it, but... That's right. I got this bad boy here. Because that means I'm actually editing a video as well. So I think the channel is finally going to come back into its full-fledged glory.
I mean, the only thing to cap it off would be a challenge. Just saying.
Not saying it's not going to happen.
I was editing a Run Steep video last night as well. So we're apparently just getting motivated. I don't know what it is. It's something's in the air, maybe. Not sure.
I mean, it's March, you know, it's spring is in the air. It's coming. A lot of bunnies are in stores because Easter candy is already out there, which, you know, like I'm hype on off the jump, but you know, we're getting a little bouncy. And so I guess that, I don't know, this analogy is horrible. I'm exhausted. So
all right,
we're gonna let it ride.
All right, great.
But I'm excited. Yeah, no, March is gonna be a big month. Just for us running wise, and then for the channel and all the things coming at you guys. So get excited and let us know what you want to see. Cool.
Nancy Hobbs says she wants to see the December live show at the running event.
We did record that. Is that live? Did we not put that up?
Oh, she says we're working up to it. The next one.
The upcoming one,
2021.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's going to be wild. And I will say this, so we're like super signposting. I did call Jamil very early on Saturday morning and was like, hey, I'm booking this hotel. Do you want in or not? So we have already secured our party pad in Austin for the running event. So we're planning on being there. So if you're a vendor or a sponsor or
let's
anyone
let's in the collab. Space,
let's make this happen. Help us collab. Help you. There will not be any sweet drone footage from inside the conference floor. That seems a little dangerous, but you will see us floating around Austin come the beginning of December. So I'm excited for it.
Shout out Treeline Journal in the chat here.
Oh, snap. I would say friends of the pod. You know, I appreciated them.
Getting there. I'm just kidding. they're throwing shade at your background right now. So I had to throw a little shade back. They're saying, why does Skizzle not have a sick background to work with? You need plant and some lighting.
I'm going to stop you there. It's because I live in the Bay Area and I work for the government. So I don't make enough money to have a sick background, but I appreciate your low key shade. I have a plant next to me. I don't know when it was last watered. It's not my responsibility. But yeah, this is where the magic happens.
Mine thinks it's fall. Oh, this is barely in the screen, actually. There we go. We got the... It's good. It's good stuff.
We're living the dream. Also, while we're talking about people throwing shade at us, we're just going to hop straight into the Texas qualifier.
Yeah.
We'll do like an actual debrief of the event itself. We did a whole preview of it last week. But honestly, I started watching the Friday night coverage, and the first drone shot I saw over the track, I was like, this feels oddly familiar. And so obviously, from a fan standpoint, the Texas qualifier was great. Free coverage over the course of 2 days. You got to see a lot of elite athletes going after, you know, trials qualifying and then Olympic qualifying standards. But those shots were pretty on point. And then the random portraits they were taking of runners at the finish. They had like a little dedicated photo booth. Like the whole thing was a good vibe. And the Trials of Miles guys actually slid into my DMs based on one of the stories I posted and like acknowledged the fact that Black Canyon had the drone shots and may or may not have been a little bit of the inspiration for what happened on Friday and Saturday at that meet. So I got to shout out Cooper and Dave at Trials of Miles. Did a phenomenal job with the meet as a whole. And so I gotta show them some love. I gave them a lot of crap on Instagram just because it felt like the shorter quarter mile component of what we had to do over the course of 62 miles. But yeah, it was a good time. And the drone shots were sick. Like, it is very interesting to see a track race from that perspective.
Desert Solstice coming at you.
So, yeah, a lot of shade being thrown about in the running community as of late. We're getting to that making the water boil component.
I mean, it makes it more interesting to throw a little shade around. So, okay, we got a lot going on in the chat room real quick. Thomas Bowling says, let's meet at Pint House Pizza in Austin for the best IPAs. We need a meetup, I think.
We should. Yeah.
Do a meetup for anyone that will be there. That would be bananas.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a given. Yeah. Anytime we're co-located, we should probably just have a meetup.
Nosage says, think TRE will happen again. Well, it better because you already booked our room. So
yeah,
it better happen.
I got the good view too.
Brian Aaliyah says, Treeline, donate two ferns. Skizzle between two ferns would be classy.
See, the thing is, people can't see what's already happening next to me.
You have plants?
I do have the one situation over here. But I'm standing between, here's my setup. There's a dream like studio setup that I have that is not come to fruition yet. So what you guys have seen when I'm at home is literally the distance between my dresser and the edge of the bed. And I just have to stand here and it's a foot and a half, maybe. Like, this is it. This is all the room I have. So if I put two ferns, I'm not going anywhere. Like, I'm locked in. Like, there's no way for me to escape if a fire happens. Like, if I need to use the restroom on the flat, like, there's no, I literally have to like dive bomb, like back onto the bed, like I'm high jumping and then like roll out. So yeah, just from a practicality standpoint, let's wait a little bit until I get the other studio. I'm not one of these fancy everyday YouTubers that can set up a whole thing. This is what you guys are getting. So love you. Thank you. Let's move on.
next. What is next on our list? Did you want to talk more about the Texas qualifier event? We did get someone in the chat thanked you for bringing that up last week. They were able to tune in. They wouldn't have known about it otherwise.
Good. No, that's the dream. Let's just dive all the way into Run Flat news. The Texas qualifier being the bulk of it. So, excuse me. It was a phenomenal weekend. I think for those who didn't catch last week's episode or didn't see the Texas qualifier, it was essentially an opportunity to run an early outdoor race in two groups. One was for those who are just trying to get the Olympic trials standard so they can go to Eugene in June and have their shot at making it to the Olympics. And then those who might have already qualified for the trials, trying to run the Olympic standard so that if they are top three, loosely speaking, they'll be able to actually go to the Olympics. So it was a little bit muggy in Austin, as it can be sometimes. So overall, not as many folks hit their respective standards as they probably would have liked. I think in the women's 5K, you had one person hit the Olympic standard, two otherwise hit the Olympic trials qualifier. And then the 800s were the only other place or the only other races where we saw folks hit standards. We had one Olympic qualifier on the women's side with four trials qualifiers and then just one trials qualifier on the men's side. So not as fast, but I mean, it's early. It's February. People shouldn't be race sharp for those times quite yet. So we'll definitely see things ramp up as we get through the spring. But that all being said, it was still very entertaining to watch. Shout out to Trials of Miles for putting the race on. Presidius Mag, Chris Chavez, and former pro Kyle Merber hanging out in the commentary booth and providing some very insightful commentary and not just what we typically see when it's on NBC. So great, great shout out to them. I'll run through it really quickly. On the men's side, on Friday night, the Olympic trials qualifier sections. On the men's side, you had Hoey win the 800 in 147. On the women's side, you had Willis win in 203. In the 1500, you had Adams win in 338. On the women's side, Galvin won in 412. Super tactical race. Like the trials qualifier standard is 406 on the women's side. And they were just like, nah, we're going to let the rabbit go. The rabbit was leading by like 35, 40 meters. Like they were just not having it. In the men's 5K, Craig Engels won in 336.91. We're going to come back to that. Lamone won on the women's side, just like a crazy kick down in the last 200. 15:28:47. And then in the 10K, Sid Vaughn, Hoka NAZ Elite, won in 28:39. Zinenko won on the women's side, 32:43. So that was Friday night. Folks were hyped. They were like, this is good. This is entertaining. Let's see what happens on Saturday. Saturday, mess. Like, it was just bananas. It was muggier and warmer than Friday night had been.
Were they both at night, Saturday night?
They were both at night. Yeah, they were both at night. There were daytime races on Saturday for high school, like developmental. So folks who theoretically might not get into the Olympic trials this year, but like might be 2024 contenders. They had a whole thing. And then they had like an Austin specific section, like just shout out to locals for them to be able to race, which was actually a pretty cool thing to see them do. So on the nighttime program for folks who are trying to hit the Olympic standard. And there are basically two ways to get into the Olympics. You either, assuming you either like hit the standard and take top three in your country, then you're pretty much going. Or there's this like super convoluted ranking system based on like your best performances throughout the season, weighted for very highly competitive meets. It's super nuanced. We have like 3 months until we have to do a deep dive here, but basically the way to best guarantee that you can go to the Olympics if you're top three in your country is to hit the standard. So basically nobody hit the standards in these distance events on Saturday, but they were still competitive races to watch. You had Isaiah Harris, 146.19 in the 800. Ajay Wilson, 158.93 on the women's side, leading two women under two flat. Justin Knight, 336.62 in the 1500, even though he's Canadian, but he went to Syracuse and he has one of the dirtiest kicks in history, that anytime I'm finishing an ultra race, I just like imagine myself as Justin Knight. So it's always fun to see him race and race well. You had Debo Stafford from Bowerman Track Club on the women's side in the 1500, ran 4:10.09. Mason Furlick, technically unattached, but like rocks a Tracksmith jersey and trains with Nick Willis and Hobbs Kessler. He runs 13:25 in the 5K. On the women's side, Ellie Purrier, who fresh off of her American record in the 2 mile just a few weeks ago, comes back, wins the 5K in 15:03. So she hits that Olympic standard. She originally was going to try to go sub 15, but conditions just didn't allow for it. And then on the men's side in the 10K, you have Zuhair Talbi. He runs 28:12.41, basically solo. The men's 10K started with 13 guys, only six finished. Like, that's how weird that race went down. But this kid's also an NAIA college athlete. And afterwards, he's like, yeah, I'm just going to recover because I have indoor track nationals on Thursday. So he runs this 10K and just misses out on the trials standard by 12 seconds on Saturday. It's like, I'm just going to cruise. And then he's going to turn around and run a 5K and a DMR leg on Thursday at NAIA track nationals. Like, so taking one for the team over his individual goals for hopefully qualifying for the Olympics this year. So shout out to him. And then on the women's side, you had Coco. I'm going to read this. Klosterhoffen. That is the Constance Klosterhoffen from Germany, sets the German national record, runs 31:01 in the 10K on the women's side, wins by like 70 something seconds. Kira D'Amato takes second place in 32:16. But she just literally, there's a point when you're watching the video at like 13 minutes in to the race, she looks at Pete Julian, who's on the infield. She's like, now's the time to go. And then just takes off, like goes from running 76s or something to just like 72s per lap. Just like, okay, like I'm just chilling now. So that was insane. So yeah, not a ton of folks who hit the standard, but really great racing. All the videos are up on the CDS Mag YouTube channel. You can go check them out. They're great. Great commentary. Morgan McDonald was supposed to be out there racing. If you saw his vlog this week, he screwed up his ankle running on some snow in Austin.
Welcome to the club.
When they had their whole thing. Exactly. So he was in the commentary booth for a little bit, and it was just hilarious. So those are the elites. Here's some backstory, some underlying, some deep dives.
How are you so in tune with all these people? Is it the same way I'm just so in tune with all of like the trail people? I'm just like, I'm always blown away. We even just got a comment like, you're geeking out so much on this stuff. It's like, it's awesome to see it. I'm like, how do you know everything about all these people? Like, how do you do it? Or how do you keep tabs? You just follow them all on social media, or are you going to other sources?
Yeah, no, I mean, most of it is just stalking them on social media, because that's like passive research. I feel like when I'm just like seeing what my friends are doing, I also get to see what these folks are doing. And then part of it's just like I give 60 minutes a week to prepare for the show. And I spend a lot of
more than I do. I guess. Well, that's, I mean, like I spend several, I have to spend, if I'm doing the Outhouse News show, that's several hours of work for sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, I've seen you script
I appreciate it.
A corner for a while. Here's some underlying
that's things. Where I go. I go to my corner and then I do it.
Speaking of the running event, I just remember when I showed up
last
year to the convention center and you're just like, no, I got to script this. We're doing
it. I'm just like, go talk to me.
We're in the corner doing your thing. And I'm just sitting there next to Haley like, cool. So how's life? I'm just literally twiddling my thumbs because I have no idea what we're about to get into. So.
Oh, yeah. And then the other thing is, like, I was trying to do the video piece of it to play and time it in the script. So I'm like, I have to read the whole script and time it so that the graphics will come up for the people that were there. Like, it was over the top, but it was actually not. It was, like, perfect. So I think it worked out fine.
No, it was the proper amount of production value we should have given to doing a live in-person event. So I was not mad at it by any stretch. You did what we had to do. I appreciate you. So just like a few things in the undercurrent for folks who are who care about such things. Hobbs Kessler, we mentioned last week during the preview, the high schooler who ran 357 indoors just a few weeks ago. He was in the OTQ Friday night section for the 1500. He runs 352.80, so like not close to the standard whatsoever. Not happy. Comes back Saturday, like mid-morning, runs the high school 1600, runs a 408.53. So this kid does what like every, like anyone who's ever run a trials and finals, like high school or college situation, he literally doubles back in like 15 hours and runs 352.80 in the 1500, which converts to like a 407 in the mile anyway, and then runs a 408 mile. So it's just, this kid's legit. So I fully expect to see him qualify for the trials at some point here. And then we'll see what he can do in June at Eugene. Ari Clow. So for those who are fans of the athlete special, you know, Ari is like his, I won't say sidekick, but he's been along the journey, also moved out to Washington with him. He's got a very sweet mustache, has a lot of side hobbies, cycling, making new music. He ran that Austin Division 5K, ran a 1406. So just wanted to shout him out. He's a YouTuber. He's doing cool things. You should check him out. We only had, as I mentioned, the six people finished that Olympic Saturday night section of the 10K, but the 5K is what everybody was talking about. So Craig Engels is a 1500 meter specialist, I think we can safely say. He had this goal of just breaking 14. He's like, I just want to break 14, have a run of 5K in years. Like, I just want to get out there, shake it up. Him and Don Cabral are going like, you know, back and forth for quite some time. He comes down, kicks down for the win. In the Don Cabral got second. Sydney Gittabadai. Said it right. He takes third from 10 Man Elite. And he's got just one of the best stories, D2 athlete. So him to show up and take top three was great. But back to Craig Engels. So during a post-race interview with FloTrack, he's just like high on life and just like talking a bunch of stuff, having a good old time. Like, I'm, you know, just here to have a good time. You know, my fitness is good, ready to work on speed, get to the 1500. I want to set the 1500 American record. I want to run 329 for the clean American record. And then like, we moved on from that. Like, it just wasn't asked. And it was like, wait, hold on a second. The American record is either 326 or like 327, 328, depending on like how you want to scope it. And so it's like, what the hell did he mean? Craig Engels took shots at Bernard Lagat. So there was the period in, I think it was 04, where Bernard Lagat wins, or he runs for Kenya at the Olympics, but he'd actually already become an American citizen, but just hadn't told anybody because he still wanted to run for Kenya. And then, you know, renounced that citizenship, took American citizenship. And then at, I believe either at those Olympics or like a close subsequent race, his A sample and a drug test came back positive for EPO. The B sample did not. So he didn't get pinged with a full like suspension, the 2 years, like that whole normal process. But so Craig Engels is basically like, hey, like his A sample came back. Like he might've been doping during the time. We just don't know. So I think if I run 329, like I'll get the clean American record. So shots fired. Take that for what you will. That'll be an interesting storyline to watch. Also, Craig might not be the one to set it. Like there are several men in the 1500 that could run sub 329, but to lay it out like that to somebody who many people in the distance running world sort of like look up to, and Bernard Lagat, was a pretty bold statement to say flippantly in a post-race interview. So very exciting. Cool. That's the Texas qualifier in a nutshell. Again, it's all on YouTube if you want to watch it live. But shout out to the Trials and Miles guys. I think they are doing another qualifier type event. And I want to say April or May. I got to double check exactly what that is. But
they're going to do it. I know for sure there's going to be a live podcast in like, I think it was May 1st, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the next one. They're going to try and do this again there. So
yeah. So that's the Texas qualifier in a nutshell. That was by far not the only run flat news of the weekend. I'll be very quick on this because I know Jamil's like, what the hell's happening here? Let's stay in the pro ranks. So there was a half marathon and a marathon that happened in Atlanta. So the like Atlanta's marathon weekend, I believe it was billed at. They went to the raceway where like NASCAR does their thing, ran some races. On the men's side, Carlos Trujillo won. Kara Roper won by 6 seconds over Nancy Jurgens. But everyone was talking about the half marathon. Molly Seidel shows up and just like balls out, runs 1:08:29 in the half marathon. So people are talking about like, is she now a medal contender in Tokyo for the marathon? Like she won by over a minute. I think it might've been close to a minute and a half over Natasha Rogers. So like this wasn't just like her and some like recreational runners. Like this is a good field. And she came out and dominated. Abdisamed Abdi won on the men's side, 1:03:59, beating Zach Panning by 1 second. And then Matt Lano ran 1:04:19. For third place in the half marathon. So super competitive, super interesting to find the videos. Across the ocean, some direction. In Japan, the Lake Biwa Marathon, you had 42 men run under 2 hours and 10 minutes. So to put that in perspective.
So it's decent.
It's pretty solid. I saw some statistic where like the top three at the marathon project in the greater Phoenix area back in December, the top three at the marathon project would have taken like 38th, 41st, and 43rd or something like that. This race. Like it was something nuts.
That's a legit LOL right there.
Yeah. So it was like, oh damn, Japan stays stunning on us. The last 5K from the winner Suzuki, I believe Suzuki, crushed it. Like the video of it is insane. It's literally just like, hey, like I have a kick. It's going to last a 5K. Like the gear change is nuts. Yuki Kawauchi, the former champion at Boston, also PR'd for the first time in like 7 years or something weird. And he ran 2:07 and change. So very interesting. You can find articles about it all over the world. And by the world, I mean the internet, whatever. We're doing it live. And then lastly, I want to talk about college stuff. So the thing that I keep trying to refresh here on my screen is we are supposed to be getting the Division I men's and women's indoor starting lists tonight. Like it's supposed to drop. There's a whole selection show sort of thing like we typically see in basketball. That's supposed to be happening. And that's really going to tell us what's going to happen on the cross country side. So again, for Division I, indoor championships are March 11th through the 13th, and cross-country championships are March 15th. People can double back and do both events. And so once we have a better sense of what's happening in the distance world on the indoor track side, we'll have a sense of like who's really prioritizing cross-country. But we did have some conference meets happen on the cross-country side. This past week, we had a bunch happen on the indoor side, but without the indoor list, it's not really that important. So on the conference cross-country side, we had the Western Athletic Conference, Cal Baptist won for the men and the women in the Ohio Valley. Eastern Kentucky won on the women's side by 2. Eastern Illinois won on the men's side by 4. And the crazy one that everybody was talking about, the NAU women making a sneaky run at potentially a top 5 at Nationals. They win the Big Sky Conference. But the men, NAU men, who've been ranked number 1 the entire year, they lose to Southern Utah by 3 points. They sat out their first, second, and fourth runners.
Yikes.
Are they injured? Are they not? Little bit of a question mark around that. Are they going to have some people run indoor track and then come back for cross country? Are they putting all their eggs in one basket? A little bit of a unknown mystery happening right now. But Southern Utah made a statement win, which was very important because, again, there are no regionals this year. So conference championships are going to be weighted the most. So Southern Utah, by winning over a somewhat depleted NAU team might have just secured their chance to be at the big dance in Stillwater on March 15th. So a whole lot of stuff coming down the pipeline. And for the cross-country championships, those will be covered live on ESPNU and the ESPN app. I feel like I'm now just like on around the horn. But those races, cross-country, is going to be live on ESPN.
And drones.
So, yeah, they probably have drones. So, that's Run Flat News. That was a lot of me monologuing. I'm going to drink over here, and you can
– Yeah.
Whew.
I mean, if I were to jump in with some, I guess – Outpost news. Have we talked on this show about some of the like acquisitions that have happened in the sport?
The only one we talked about was I Run Far, but
that we did talk about that. Okay,
that was the only one. But so, yeah, Outside Magazine got purchased.
Yeah, so I touched on a few of those this week. Ultra Sign Up is getting to be old news at this point, but I did see Mark Gilligan is like setting out on the PCT. So he's like,
that is happening. Where, yeah.
So like, whereas I think Brian and Megan are, at least from the press release, it's like they're still involved. And I think it was almost like they're getting resources to take I Run Far to a new level and have better financial backing. You know, Mark is like, see ya, like I'm retiring. I'm going to go hike the PCT and good luck, gentlemen and ladies and everyone in the world.
I mean, wasn't the whole thing that the acquisition is supposed to give like larger like server space and bandwidth and allow for that? Like, he's probably like, listen, the interface, like the UX front facing side is fine. Y'all figure out the back end. I'm a dip.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he sold it for sure. So I think he, you know, he's built up his business and it makes sense. Like, and yeah, like Mark, and Bill, it was like a two-man show, and it's a large business. I mean, these guys, and I'll tell you, like, they were great at customer service. I mean, you could text or call Mark or Bill 24 hours a day, basically, and you would almost always, they would always be up by their computer, and it would like almost always get a response. Well, we've had some good times with Mark in the past, to say the least. I don't know how far we got to go into that, but we've had some times with that guy. He's great times. I'm now like trying to remember all the things that I'm like,
you won't.
That really happened, because that was ridiculous. Like the mini horse and
yeah,
like the bonfire. Man. Those are like the two things in my mind.
Yep. See, this is, remember like last week or 2 weeks ago when I was like, the stories we could tell, and especially me, because like I just get brought into things because of you. That is definitely one of them. Like that mini horse incident, for sure. I was like, there's no way in hell I would ever have this experience otherwise.
I mean, so there's footage of the mini. Did that make the see the light of the day ever, or was that?
I feel like that had to have been in somebody. Like, it hadn't been one of ours. It might have been in both. One of our blogs.
There was some mini horse. There was some mini horse being. Yeah. Anyways, like being drawn around the yard by a mini horse. Anyways, good stuff.
That's so silly.
Yeah. Someone said I'm tired. And that's very true. I didn't sleep very much last night, but that happens sometimes. And then, yeah, this Pocket Media, I was like, well, see, the article I read was by S News, which is like owned by, it's this huge conglomerate now. So like, I was reading an article about it by a website owned by them. So of course it's going to be like, this is the biggest thing to shake up the outdoor industry ever.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, maybe I should read. Anyways, but that's the one I read. So essentially Pocket Outdoor Media, which seems like either they've been on this insane acquisition spree or Outdoor has been on this insane acquisition spree the last year, just scooping up like maybe all these failing things or just whatever, acquiring stuff. So it's like Outdoor Magazine they acquired, Outside TV, which is apparently in almost every cable package, I guess, if people subscribe to cable. Is that a thing? I don't. They were trying to say they're in a ton of households, so they reach tons of people. There's Gaia GPS, which I actually do use at times. Peloton magazine, no affiliation to Peloton, the company. That was important to know. Athlete Reg, which I'm assuming is a registration software thing. Okay. And basically all of that and all of whatever Pocket Outdoor Media was, which seemed like a giant conglomeration of media, et cetera, et cetera.
Didn't they have like Triathlete Mag and it spans many different sports.
Yeah, it was the CEO or whatever is like, we're basically going to touch all of the outdoor adventure yoga industry. Anything having to do with recreation, wellness, and outdoors, like, we will touch you all. Not like kind of creepy. We'll touch you all.
Are we not doing phrasing?
That's what
anymore?
I got from the S News. So thank you, S News, for that. It was an excellent summary of this big move for your company. So congratulations. But yeah, they're rebranding. So Pocket Media is now just Outside. So Outside. Cool. So they bought Outside and they became Outside. Does that make sense?
I mean, go with the bigger name. That probably makes sense. Name.
You buy a bigger fish, you become the bigger fish. Something like that. FKT News. So this is one, and I'm calling myself out a little bit on this one because I owe people stuff and now I'm going to have to make it come true. So the Mount Tam Hill climb, let's just get right into it.
Okay.
Yeah. Now you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So the Mount Tam Hill climb, do you want to give people a summary since I feel like you are more in tune with this than I am, but this Mount Tamalpais, is that how you say it?
Tamalpais.
Tamalpais. God dang it.
I knew I was screwed
it up.
It's got
I was practicing all day. I just call it Mount Tam because that's easier.
That's what everybody does.
I should have just stuck with it. Dang it. Starts in Mill Valley. The FKT route starts in Mill Valley, right on like the main square. Mm-hmm. And then it goes up to the top of Mount Tam via a certain way. And this is a classic FKT route. You want to give the folks a little insight?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. The first quarter mile is road-ish as you're going to then a staircase and then a traditional trail climb. What is it? 3.5 miles? Probably a little longer. Somebody's going to fact check me hard on that. And it climbs from less than 100 feet, probably elevation, all the way up to the top of Mount Tam's peak. You got to touch the door, which is at, I believe, 30 something. See, now you put me on the spot. I think it's 3,000 feet of climbing, probably a little bit more than that.
3,000 feet of climb, a few miles. And the biggest thing was that, like Patty O'Leary is a big part of this, but like the idea of breaking 30 minutes on Mount Tam. And so that's one for the men. That's one piece of it. And bring 40.
Breaking 40 for the women.
Yeah. It's like
Yo Wang was the only person who had done it as of.
And like the other thing was the idea of locals versus outsiders, like who owns the crown. So that is a point of pride. And the biggest thing for them is Jim Walmsley came in and took the record. And so he ran in 2017, I didn't have his time in my notes, but it was like 30 minutes and like some odd seconds, like 20 seconds or something. I'm just going to throw that out there. So no one's broken 30 yet on the men's side. And Jim Walmsley, who doesn't live in the Bay Area, he has the record. And E.O. Wang, who is from the area, she ran 38:30, and I guess according to your records, the only one that broke 40. And then Bailey Kowalczyk, Boulder, and she's been on fire the last year and a half. Basically, Boulder Skyline Traverse multiple times, like lowered that, Barren Green Mountain, Mount Sinaitis, and then actually just nabbed Mount Diablo recently and ran.
That I did not know. Okay.
See, I got something new for you. I think it was just in the last couple of weeks. So she must just be up there kind of knocking off FKTs. But 37 minutes, 3 seconds. So, I mean, almost 90 seconds faster than E.O. Wang. So that's some news there, I think.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like, I just saw that all over Instagram this weekend from a lot of the locals who were both impressed and, as you mentioned, I'm not gonna say pissed off, but they're like, oh, now we're hungry because we have to bring it back locally. So yeah. I mean, 37:03 on the women's side is nothing to scoff at. Like, that is a respectable time for literally anyone. I think it's a top overall. I think it's like a top, it's gotta be a top 50 time. So, you know what? I'm just going to track it down real quick. It is,
all right.
it is the 30th best time on Strava. So yeah, the fact that she comes in and just like shows up everyone.
And is it just two women have broken 40?
That should be correct. Yeah. So EO ran 38:30. Yep. And they took a swing at it in late 2020. So yeah, Alyssa Mahoney ran 38:39. So she had just missed EO's record. I do remember seeing this. But yeah, it's I think it's literally five or less women have run sub 40. None had really done it other than EO since or until the middle of last year. So I guess the FKT boom also hit Mount Tam. But yeah, I mean, 37:03 is insane. I think the day that like we helped film the men's record, I want to say that probably only three or four of the men themselves might have actually taken a good crack and beat that time. So
sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, since I do have it open, I was slightly incorrect on the elevation game. The high point is 2,500 feet. So 3.3 miles, you gain 2460 over the course of 3.3 miles. So an average grade of 14.2%. And once you get off those stairs, it's not the best footing. It's not the buttery, smooth fire trails that you have in other areas of the Marin Headlands. Like, it's rocky. You got some weird stuff happening. And the scramble towards the top to the door. So, yeah, shout out to her. She's crushing it. Diablo also is slept on. Everybody talking about Mount Tam, but Diablo is typically warmer, more rugged, and much more exposed than Mount Tam. And I think because it's so inland, like, everybody gets to the top of Mount Tam, you can see out over the ocean, you can see San Francisco, like, whatever, like, it's great. Mount Diablo, you're in the heart of the East Bay. You're like, cool, I can see the other hills before I can see the bay, before I can see the peninsula, before I see, like, it's beautiful up there, but it's brutal. There's a reason I don't go to Diablo between like April and November, because it is just ridiculously hot. But it is bikeable, so you end up with a lot of cyclists up there who just hate their lives as they bike up. Great descent though.
Is it paved or?
There is a road, so you can drive all the way to the top. But no, there are many a trail that you can run up, and I think there was Patty had done the whole like Bay Area. I forget what this exact competition was called. They basically tried to like set FKTs, or at least like for the competition, like competition KTs, best K, whatever, for like 28 different routes around the Bay Area. And the one that they had chosen for Mount Diablo was a little bit more tricked out than the one that I typically have run. But no matter what, at Mount Diablo, you're climbing 3,500 feet, I think, to the summit, and then straight back down. And you're doing it in 14 miles or less. So it's just, you're going to put yourself in the pain box if you're trying to do that quickly. That's it.
So yeah, that's Mount Tam. That's one thing. The other thing, maybe just one other story I want to touch on, is guess who got entry into the Western States 100? See this?
Oh, I saw something on Instagram and I did mean to text you about this.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you were looking for who is the King Cowboy himself, Jim Walmsley?
M1 is coming back. Jim Walmsley.
Do you know how that happened though?
Yeah, so you'll have to tune in. No, well, I mean, we could say you have to tune in to Mountain Outhouse News to find out, but I could also just, this is a bonus, I'll just tell you. You can actually find out. It's pretty cool. I do like this, that Western States does this. If you go to their website, not Ultra Signup Entry List, but they do have all their entrants on their website. And on the far right column, they tell you how every single entrant gained entry. So whether that's lottery entry and then how many tickets they had when they got pulled, or Ultra Trail World Tour, previous top 10 finisher, there's actually a surprising number of race admin tickets. So I think that might be for aid station. I think most aid stations that have been there a long time, they get an entry to give away. There's what other kinds of spots are there? There's actually board of director spots. There's special consideration. There's silver legend. Sometimes I think they have a top, a 10 time and a 20 time finisher. I mean, it's kind of interesting to just take a few minutes and kind of go through the list. But yeah, if you do find Jim on that list and you go over, it just says sponsor.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
So, you know, the assumption is that Hoka utilized one of their sponsor slots that they get for being the partner of the race. And, you know, instead of him having to, obviously he pulled his name from Black Canyon, but, you know, and who knows what's going to happen with Canyon's 100K if that happens. So it's a guaranteed shot for him to get in. So there it is. Yeah. That's, if you were curious about that, how I was curious when he posted it. You know, I wasn't sure if it was some other way, Ultra Trail World Tour or, you know, special consideration, but it was, it's listed as the sponsor slot. So,
so here's the question though, will he actually get M1? Cause he turned down.
He got it. Yeah. That was part of the post, I think. And I believe he is listed as M1 on the entry list too.
Okay.
But on Instagram, he said, and all he says in his post was just him with like a sponge right on his head, M1 2021 with fire emojis. So that's it. Sweet. That's my news. The rest of it, you'll have to tune in. I think it'll probably drop maybe tomorrow night, this week's news show, and we're going to try and get it sooner next week. We're all a little rusty around here. You know, I thought I dropped the file into the right folder for upload and it stalled out in processing. And then my editor was like, I had to go like try and find the previous program files and blah, blah, blah. So it should come out tomorrow at some point. We could talk about, I thought this was good. You know, you've heard, you know what the Jed Smith is, right?
The Ultra here in the Bay Area?
Yeah, Jed Smith Ultras. It's like a 40-year-old Ultra, and oftentimes it has some of the fastest times of the year in it. And yep. So this is a 40th running from what I could find. For the 50-mile, first off, the men's and women's winners were the same age. Guess the age. And the times, I will tell you the times, the men's winning time, 5:50. That's 20 minutes off the course record. And women's winning time, it was 7:07.
52.
56 years old. So Rich Hanna won in 5:50. And then Beverly Anderson Abbs, fifth overall. She has the course record there. Top two times, actually. 6:14, 6:18. And she ran a 7:07. So Bev is awesome. And then we actually had two guys run under the 50K course record out there. So the course record goes all the way back to 1993 by Dennis Rind, 3 hours, 2 minutes. And we had Malcolm Richards, 2:51, and then Chikara Omine, 2:59.
Neither of those names surprised me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Malcolm is West Valley Track Club. Basically dominates the master scene, and Chikara is he still with Palma Kids, I want to say. I haven't seen him in years. Pandemic,
like he's always running. He always runs that race.
Runs stuff.
Yeah. He always runs like that kind of a race, and you'll see like Jean Pommier and like some other guys like always running those types of races. There's a few others in California kind of like that that are just flat and fast. I don't actually don't even know the course really, but
I do want to shout out because he might not still be, but he was the Mountain Ultra Trail chair for a bit for the Pacific USATF region. So he not only runs a lot, but he's actually trying to give back and make sure that the races are getting their proper credit in the greater area. So did Nancy Hobbs come in and fact check me on this? I just, based on that chuckle, I'm worried about
it. No, there's other stuff happening in the chat that might be inappropriate or something. But we did have Secrets MP said Jed Smith is a flat bike path race, and then Rich Hanna is a local running legend. So,
yeah. So real quick, because I know we haven't even gotten to the weird random stuff I wanted to bring up.
We should get to it soon, but yeah, what do you got?
Yes. So the NCAA Division I indoor entries just dropped. So I'm scrolling through it real quick. Very interesting to see. We talked a couple weeks ago about the three Oregon runners who all ran like 350, 350, and then 353 in the mile. Only one of them is in the prelims for the mile, Cole Hawker. Two of them are in the 3K, Cole and Cooper Tier, which means the third person isn't even particularly on this list. So it'll be interesting to see what Oregon does. Pac-12s for cross country are this upcoming weekend. So that'll give us a sense as to where Oregon might be. Are they trying to win both, or are they going to put all their eggs in one basket? And then in the 5K, Wesley Kiptoo, I think he's going to double back, try to win both the 5K at NCAAs on the men's side, indoors, and then try to win an outdoor cross-country title. So just want to put that on people's radar. Declarations and scratches will still happen for the next couple of days, but that's where we're at. On the women's side, scrolling through, BYU women, a lot of question marks. They have three of the top eight women in the mile, but they also have probably a top three women's cross-country program. So we'll see how many of these women stay in. Katie Izzo for Arkansas is going to be interesting to watch if she can double back from a 3K, 5K double indoors and make a run at a cross-country title, or if she's going to stay just focused on one of those races or strictly indoors. And then we're missing someone from BYU. You know, we're their number one runner is not listed indoors whatsoever. So it's a question of whether, you know, Whitney Orton is going to run just cross country, or if she's hurt and going to miss her chance at two national titles or national titles in two different sports in the same weekend. So you can look at the whole NCAA registered list after declarations occur here in the next couple of days. And clearly it's going to have some impacts on some of our bigger conferences, Pac-12, Big East, you know, some of the other ones this weekend, and then cross country selection Sunday. I think it's like 1 p.m. Pacific time. We're going to find out which teams are going to the big dance, and then if that's going to impact the indoor schedule. Because basically next Thursday, distance running hell breaks loose between the miles, the DMRs, the 3K, the 5K, and then a cross country championship outdoors over 6 or 10K on grass to settle the score. So that's it. Sorry, just wanted to bring that up. Breaking news. You heard it here first.
Breaking news.
Let's get to the miscellaneous topics.
Yeah, let's get on it.
I got two things for you. One, I don't know if you saw the poll that I put on Instagram and Twitter. I feel like this might happen to you more than me. But folks who like go back and like are going through your profile and either like a really old Strava from you or a really old Instagram post. And I ask the question, which one's creepier? Like going on creeping on somebody's profile and liking a super old Instagram post, or creeping and liking an old Strava post? Folks who voted between Twitter and Instagram, two-thirds said Instagram was creepier.
That's what I would say.
I think Strava.
Really?
For two reasons. One is there's no like individual feed for someone on Strava. Like you go to their profile and you have to go like week over week, like click that little here's the last 12 weeks bar.
You could just scroll forever and it keeps loading and loading and loading and just keep scrolling and scrolling for years and years and years and years.
Which takes a lot of work.
I've done that
versus
before.
The profile where you can kind of like at least see it in a, you know, a 3x3 grid and you can get through it faster.
You have to be more dedicated to get back further in Strava for sure. Yeah, you have to have more perseverance.
Correct.
I don't know what that has to do with the creepy level though.
Here's
like,
the thing.
That's like the other axis. Creepy versus perseverance.
And here's the thing. You can't unlike on Strava. So on Instagram, you accidentally hit that heart. You're like, oop, double tap again.
Can't unkudos.
You cannot unkudos on Strava.
Really?
So if you accidentally trip up and you like something from 4, 5, 6 years ago, that's there. And that's in their notifications. So the next time they pop in, they're going to be like, you liked what activity? Here's me. And like, if it's like a major race, I think that's one thing. Or like, it's a popular segment that they might've been like, oh, like who holds, like who's on the leaderboard for this, you know, this particular segment on Strava. But if it's like none of the above and they just like something randomly old.
Why can't you unkudos? I don't understand. I didn't realize that before.
I didn't make the interface. I'm just letting you know. So maybe this is just a PSA that you can get away with more things on Instagram.
You should be able
but
to
if you
take,
like something should, on Strava.
You should be able to take back a kudos. I feel like this is standard. Wait, is numbers? You're on Strava? Numbers is on Strava. All right, this is breaking news, everyone. Hold everything. No, I'm just kidding. Strava seems a bit more personal to me. That's what Christopher Wilson says. Insta as well, it's more personal. So some people think Instagram's more personal. Some people think Strava's more personal.
Of course,
numbers is on Strava.
Strava, you know, I think it's more personal because many people run from their home. So even if you have a privacy zone, it's like, here is a half mile halo that I most likely live in
that
or run
is,
from a lot.
That is creepy. Absolutely.
So I think that comes into it. So yes, I was surprised by my unofficial, very unscientific poll that so many people
you go back and give kudos only on the runs that starts from someone's house and not any other run.
Yeah, that's not cool. I don't know what that is. This sure as hell isn't cool.
That is psychopath level right there.
Yeah, I would legit move. I'd be like, listen, I'm out. Like, I will live in a storage bin if it means that I can get away from
this. Hey, location. Billy Yang, shout out. Billy Yang's in the chat right now.
Yeah. What's up, boss?
What's up?
So that was the first thing. Clearly, you agreed with the masses and... I'm not mad. I'm disappointed.
I'm just cheap. Yeah.
Here's the other thing. So last week we were talking about message boards and we should have an ultra message board and like people saying anonymous things on the internet. Last week I was very aggressive in terms of not wanting to create a new space for anonymous people to say dumb stuff.
But now.
No. That's mostly still my standpoint. However, there was one possible area that I thought we might need to tap into, or like there's a way that we should, I don't know, help facilitate this. So are you familiar with Craigslist, like missed connections?
Missed connections?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So missed connections is the set. The chat is like very confused right now.
Hold on.
So,
the chat is confused. Hold on.
So missed connection.
Billy says my lighting is too warm, or like our lighting isn't matching. We're not in the same place, Billy.
Oh yeah, Billy, we don't try that hard for this one. So missed connections is a place on Craigslist where folks could say, you know, random person that I saw in the grocery store aisle at like this Safeway. Like you dropped your package of bagels in front of me. We had a quick laugh. I didn't have a chance to get your number, but like,
okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So it's like it's the like Strava this, flyby equivalent or something.
Kinda, but except like you're calling your shot, like get at me and like, let me know I'd like to connect. Like I missed my moment at the time. there's probably a world where, in the ultra community specifically, not necessarily runners, because like all their names are on bibs or in the results, like you kind of figure that out, and like
you could like grab a bib number and find out.
Yeah, you could do a little due diligence. But I'm thinking like crews and pacers. So like maybe two crews are like hanging out, and like you got like a couple hours to kill because you never know when your runner's going to show up, and you're kind of vibing, but then like you miss the moment, you're dealing with your runner, then you got to jump to the next spot. There might be a chance where we have like a mountain outpost, misconnections, pacers. And again, I should not be the person who's like saying everyone date within the running community. Like, I don't believe that philosophically, like you need to date other runners, but I think there might be a market for this. What are your initial thoughts? Because I didn't run this by you at all.
I'm in. I don't know. Yeah, let's do it. I'm always about connections. Let's do it. I don't know what I'm talking about.
What is happening?
Wasn't I advocating for like a forum of some kind?
You're advocating for a forum. I'm advocating
you're
for...
You're just advocating just this piece.
Just this one piece.
Just give me this one thing. Listen. Nothing else.
Great. Like if you are at a, you know, if I'm not me, no, that's a horrible example. She's going to kill me. If somebody is crewing and you're just like, that person is cute, like, let me try to strike up a conversation, but like, you also have to attend to your runner. Like then being like, let me pull out insert dating app here and like narrow the radius to 1 mile. Like that's not the most effective way to do this. At least you have a commonality in that, like, you are trail running or ultra running adjacent. Like, how do we help facilitate that?
Because your current strategy would be to find out like who the runner is, but then you still
right.
Because it's a few levels. So at best, you could find out who the runner is, and then you'd be like, well, now what?
And then find their Strava, and then find their Instagram, and then DM them like, hey, this person who was helping you is hot, and we had a cool conversation. Like that seems like not the best strategy moving forward. So I feel like there might be a better way to like...
Nancy Hobbs is asking if this is a new dating app.
I don't want it to be an app per se, because I don't want to create runnersonly.com. Like that seems, again, there's a lot of A-type personalities, and I feel like runners should probably diversify their interests, if only because they date people who do things other than running and like force them to do other things. But that's me personally, philosophically, that's where I'm at. Never having dated a runner, dated one girl that was on a team, and that's because she followed me to the team, and that ended horribly, and that basically that set my line of sight on this from a very young age. So I don't want to create a runners only dating app, but I want to create an opportunity. I feel like I'm now selling a timeshare. How would you like an opportunity to like invest in yourself and others in this greater
community? I already invested, so all right, where is this gonna live?
I don't know. We should probably, again, now we're back to the production, like meeting.
We talk during the show. And then like, as soon as I leave this room, my brain, like it's like, I don't know. It's like in Men in Black, you get the thing.
The neuralizer.
Yeah. It just like everything that I just talked about is gone and I'm on to the next thing. So I'm glad there's a recording of this, and then I can read the show notes and find out what we talked about. It's perfect.
Can we get Dylan Bowman to add it as a subset of pillars?
There we go. I can talk to him tomorrow night.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, I did see that. You should probably plug that. Jamil's doing a thing with
someone. Someone on here says, how about go and, I don't know, actually talk to the girl using words when you see her at the race?
I'm going to stop you there. That makes logical sense. But if you've ever hung out at the finish line of a race, runners are awkward as shit. So I'm just saying, not for everyone, you know, cold approach is hard. Like I'll say that, like even for like non-runners, like even me as somebody who I would say is overconfident in this particular like area of my life, I like to think that like I dedicated time to be like, I need to be able to talk to women. Like I just need to be like, I wear glasses. It's not going to go, they're not going to approach me. So like, I had to like get out of my nerd box. And even for me, like that was a weird thing to be like, hey, I have a boyfriend. Like I get that. Cool. What's I got to do? I'm just
maybe
That's a hard anxiety thing. So
everyone just needs to take a picture with their entire crew. Okay. Post it on Instagram. Tag everyone. All right. That'd be great.
So let's walk through that logically. So the next step, you still have to go to the person who posted the photo, like, hey, that puts a lot of pressure. And kind of like a date my mom scenario. You never watched this show on MTV, did you? This is there. I'm the only person that gets this reference right now. So there was a show called Date My Mom. So basically there were like several, there were several suitors, one like contestant, target. I don't know how you want to frame this. But then it was that person's mom who would date all these guys and then choose the one.
She picks it for the
daughter. And the mother would choose the one for the daughter. That's essentially what you're asking the runner to do. Like, hey, you were like probably hallucinating for the last 20 miles of your 100 miler, but your crew member was attractive when we had a moment at Forest Hill. Can you connect me with them? Like, you're putting a lot of onus on the runner to have the best judgment for who their friend should
be. They just got to be on top of their tagging, I think.
Could help.
Nancy Hobbs, Skylar, you should be a matchmaker. How about that?
There was a small time after college. We've now moved on to, I'm going to say, more community beneficial endeavors, and we're going to call it even.
All right. Great. This was a random piece. I like it. It's good.
I told you, keeps
us on our toes here on the show.
These are the things that come up. Either people DM me weird things or just like conversations happen. I'm like, oh, we need Jamil's take. So
yeah, I mean, everyone's curious what I think about that, I'm sure.
Yes. Oh. Okay, buddy. Listen, we've been out enough that I know people are interested in how to best slide into your DMs. I'm just going to say that. Okay.
All right. I'm uncomfortable now.
And yep, there it is. I was going to say, that's how they make you feel uncomfortable.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we had this question last time. How's the Western Colorado University Trail running team doing?
Oh, yeah.
Just big chug of water. That's how they're doing.
Yeah,
I haven't caught up with them lately, but I know like definitely several of their, I guess, alumni. I mean, I see them out there running ultras and mixing it up there. So we're going to have to we'll look into it for next week's show. I'll do some investigation and catch up with those guys. Billy Yang says, Skylar looks like he's got game.
Not without practice. I'll put it that way. You can only get rejected so many times before you just like become immune to that. And you're like, cool. Also, I lived in Arizona. So you can only make so many approaches before you're just like, well, I've heard it all. And here we are. It worked out for me now. She's great. real quick, before we jump into like all Q&A in the chat.
We got about 10 minutes left. So Q&A, start dropping your questions. Yes,
drop us all the questions in the chat. We did get two from Instagram that I wanted to flag for you. It was a question around the best trails for long runs in the Phoenix metro area. They're visiting town.
Yep.
And we're trying to do back-to-back long runs. Wanted to get your opinion on best trail for or best couple of trails for some long runs.
Oh, right now. Sorry.
That's how this works.
This is the rapid fire round, the end of the show. I was just reading Billy's comments. Sorry. Best long runs in the Phoenix area. If you're looking for runnable stuff, you can't go wrong with Pemberton Trail, but if you're looking for something different than Pemberton Trail, let's say you've run Javelina, you want something really runnable. The northern part of the McDowell Sonoran Preserve is incredible. Browns Ranch area, mm-hmm. Granite Mountain area. There's tons of rolling hills up that way. If you're looking for a lot of vert and some, like one of my favorite mountain ranges that I was just in before I started the show, South Mountain is great. You can go up and down, hit the ridge, the National Trail, and go, you know, there's endless climbing there. Both areas you could run from dawn till dusk and never touch the same trail twice. So my recommendations.
I support that wholeheartedly. And if you're doing the flat stuff, every professional runner who did a camp in Phoenix is just on the canal.
Yeah. Cross, I mean, grow up.
Yeah. You got the green belt. You got a lot of options. And then the other question is, in the event that you randomly know this, will there be video footage from Big's backyard 2020?
Oh yeah.
Okay, cool.
I mean, I have, so the two things that I was filming for, first off was there was a guy that's putting together a documentary on it, and he did one before. I think he did one on Barkley one time. So I was basically, I gave all my footage to him. He was in France at the France race, because this was the one that was all over the world. So he has all my footage from there. I don't know the status of any of that. I just sent it. And then the rest will be part of a Solomon TV episode, most likely. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
To the chat.
So Billy Yang, following up on our conversation before, two words, the deuce. I don't know if that's a solution to the problem. Like, maybe every race should just have a post-race bar hop. I've gone to like the Rut before, and they have like a crazy party afterwards. Like a big social gathering post-race. People want to get together and mingle. That seems like a good time.
Okay, yeah. So, well, one context set for those who have no idea what the hell we're talking about. Yeah. The Deuce is a bar, 2 a.m. club in Mill Valley that was very popular after the North Face 50-mile championships in San Francisco. That race doesn't exist anymore. Do we think that that new Spartan Golden Gate Classic is going to revive the Deuce? Do we need to call Varner and see if that's going to be a thing? I'm very interested in the Deuce. It was basically, if you wanted
we can revive it.
Okay, cool. Done. That'll happen.
All right.
I should probably also sign up for that race, because why the hell not? And then in terms of, for those folks who don't drink, is there a way that we can have like a party pack at the finish line? Cause so many of these ultras have like barbecues and like hangouts and whatnot after the fact. That seems like a thing we can still kind of do socially distant. So we just create like these like cooler Mountain Outpost party packs where it's like, ooh, you and a friend, like his and hers koozies, or his and his koozies, or hers and hers koozies, you know, like all inclusive. Like I think that's where we come in. We start being like, I got to share this with somebody. And I think it's you. This might be where it's at.
Party pack. Love it. Love the party pack.
All right, we're gonna discuss
but
this.
But no alcohol involved.
It doesn't necessarily have to have alcohol. Right. It could be wine. It could be seltzers. It could be your LaCroix of choice. It doesn't matter. Do what feels good. Get some skewers. Get some mushroom burgers. I don't know what you eat. You tell me. But yeah,
I don't know anymore. Honestly, who knows?
Numbers
says, I love that ultra running magazine graph from Camille with Boston at the bottom. I think Numbers is talking about Camille got a hold of some early editions, or was around someone with some early editions of Ultra Running Magazine, was just screenshotting, posting it up like wildfire on Twitter. That's where that came from. Go check it out.
That reminds me.
Yeah.
Boston today just announced this like virtual race for the first 70,000 people that signed up. And apparently people have very mixed feelings on that. There's a camp of people who are like, this is the closest thing to Boston I'll ever get, and that's awesome, and I appreciate the opportunity. And there are people who are like, you should still have to time qualify for the virtual race, and it takes away from getting the medal and all that. Yeah, I don't know.
Because like London did a virtual race and 50,000 people and sold it out real quick.
Yeah, I mean, Boston had a virtual version for those who had qualified for the race under normal circumstances, but this one's just like,
that is a big thing, because like even like the swag is like a, you know, it's like a on egg haloed ground kind of thing. Like, you know, it's like, don't wear the wrong colored jacket or even have a jacket if you're not qualified to even participate, right? Like, but that's a whole, there's a whole thing around it.
There is, but also the jacket is readily available in the store. So in any year, people could have purchased it and worn it around. And like, unless you're going to be the person who also wears your medal at all times with your jacket, anybody could have been fooling anybody the whole time. So I don't know, but apparently that's going to be a brewing controversy this week. So if you see it come up on your social media handle of choice, that's what that's about.
Get excited. We got a question, couple more questions specific to Aravaipa, which we welcome here as well. Happy to answer them. From SD Meehan 135, how's Cocodona permitting and COVID metrics going? So it's going well. Steve is, he's working long hours right now. I just, right before I came up here, he was sitting in the same spot I saw him from this morning, just plugging away. So it's coming together. The COVID metrics are continuing to fall. So Coconino County, two out of the three metrics are now moderate. One of them is about to fall into minimal. And the other one is still in widespread, but it's lowering. It was at like 880 cases per 100,000. It's now at 149 just a few weeks later, and it has to get below 100. So I would think 2 to 3 more weeks, and I think it'll be there. It's kind of slowing down the descent, but or the decline, but it continues to decline. So and any more Aravaipa virtual races coming up? Well, thank you for asking. Dun, 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 dun. The we just started teasing this, Raised by Rams. This we're actually launching an entire slam series of virtual races that's coinciding with the Slam of the Damned Part 2. So the first one is all about, it's a week of climbing. So it's coming up later this month. Registration will open this week, and it's a 7-day climbing challenge. It's gonna be a good time. That's what I got for you. And then and then once we kick it off, they're gonna keep coming. So I think there'll be something for everyone. There'll be vertical challenges this year. There will be longer, like 4 to 5 week running challenges. There will be Aravaipa Strong. There will be night race ones. There will be last person standings with live streaming again. And hopefully we can have some new elements too with our updated live stream tech. Be exciting stuff. So
legit.
We want to try and cover all the bases, and we'd love to hear your feedback on what you want to see. Jason L, scariest trail run encounter with wildlife. You got anything?
I was randomly pacing my buddy Maverick at Rio del Lago 2016. Some sort of mountain lion situation at like 3 a.m. through some trees. That was pretty much it. Everything else has mostly been cows and cows wanting to fight me, or dogs, because I live in an urban environment and trails or roads, dogs apparently do not like me. That's it.
I don't know if it was necessarily scary, but kind of one that stands out for me was in 2010, the Grand Mesa 100, running it probably 2 or 3 in the morning by myself, and came up right behind a porcupine just waddling down the trail. It was like, couldn't really get around it. So I'm just kind of waiting for it to continue to waddle down the trail. There was no easy way to pass it. Definitely an interesting moment coming up on a porcupine at 3 in the morning. So
good times.
Yeah. Thomas Bowling, Jamil, what do you think about Aravaipa doing a multi-day race like 3 days of Silimo? Yeah, we haven't really gotten into the stage racing yet. I wouldn't say I have something in the works. We did have Corey run back-to-back Black Canyons. Mm-hmm. So he's like kind of making his own up. And that's kind of an option. I know Whiskey Basin coming up is going to be a 2-day again. So theoretically, you could run the 91K on Saturday, and then you could run the I think 30K would be the longest the next day. So you could do 120K in 2 days. So it's intriguing. I've never done that event, but it sounds like it could be fun. I think that's it right now. It's kind of quieted down in the chat. So I don't know. anything else?
No. You got to keep me in the loop on this virtual challenge. Try and do a lot of climbing for the month of March.
Yeah.
And try to
talk about your March, and you posted about your goals this month.
Yeah. So obviously we had done our climbing challenge in December, both the individual and the team one. And so things were going great for my training through the first half of January, kind of like took some down period towards the end of January. And then February just fell off the rails because life and work and things got crazy. So I'm like, all right, I got to reboot again. The whole goal for 2021 was to PR in all the distances from the mile on up, which also means I got a PR in annual mileage run and annual vert. So
what is your mile PR?
82.
What is it?
2,082 miles.
Oh.
It's not that high.
No, yeah. Wait, you said the one, you have to PR in the 1 mile.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I thought you meant mileage.
What's total. Your mile time?
My mile PR is full mile 453. If you convert my like 1500 PR from college, it's like 446. So again, I was mediocre at all things, but the goal is to knock all those down. So I fell off pace for basically everything in February. So I'm like, March, birthday month, I got to reboot. So trying to do, cause this is going to be my 33rd birthday, 330 kilometers of running, 33,000 feet of climbing, also throwing in 330 kilometers on the bike. We got that new Peloton, so I'm just like trying to get some time in on that. So and then I'm gonna run 33 seconds in the 200, which should not be hard, but also I'm now old and broken, and so I haven't done that in quite some time, so I gotta make sure I still have that turnover. So that's what's happening in March. I've already climbed like 2,500, almost 2,600 feet in the first 2 days, which is the highest week I've had since the second week of January. And we're only 2 days in. So we're already off to a rocket and rolling start. But yeah, so that's March in a nutshell. There'll be a vlog about these things because we're coming back, baby.
Coming back. We're doing it.
But yeah, but honestly, also, I just need to get ready for Cocodona. So that's really kind of what it'll get the ball rolling, get some consistency back in the grind. I'll probably hopefully time trial some stuff in April. I might have an actual race in April. Who knows? And then I'll be ready to pace that guy over there in the other screen for Cocodona for a little bit. And then it's going to be a wild summer. So get excited.
All right.
All this to say that hopefully I can hop into this challenge and not make a complete imbecile of myself.
Yeah, it'll be towards the end of the month, so it could be like the home stretch for you. Extra motivation for sure.
Cool.
All right, cool. I think we're going to end this week's show. Thank you, Skylar. Thank you, everyone else, for tuning in.
You're welcome. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, we got to go to sleep.
I was at the office way too late last night. I'm not going to make that mistake today. So thank you all. Be sure to subscribe to this channel, like this video. And if you want to check out this podcast on the audio platforms, go give it a listen. It's on Steep Life Media, a little confusing. We're trying to put all of our audio content from all of our different channels on one place so you can find it. Steep Life Media, all things about running, trail running, ultra running, this sport that we all love so much. Please go check it out. Leave a review if you like it. If you don't like it, don't leave a review.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheers, sure. Everyone. And see you at the running event in December. Meet up. I don't know. That's way too far out. We'll hopefully have
or next Tuesday when we record this episode again. So
absolutely. All right.
Yes. Tuesday
night. Everyone.
Enjoy yourself.